This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Manhattan, the boroughs, crime. In 2022, during the pandemic recovery, I welcome Harry Siegel, who writes a column for the New York Daily News. He's also the op editor of the Daily Beast. Harry is a Brooklyn denizen who travels the streets of New York easily. That's his task for his column. And I go to the New York Daily News now, headlines in these last hours to illustrate the perception that things have spun out of control. For example, cheers for shot NYPD detective as he's released from Staten Island. For example, man caught on video knocking toddler to son to floor inside apartment, arrested. For example, homeless parolee busted for torching NYPD patrol car with Molotov cocktail. Harry, we have a new mayor, Mayor Adams, an NYPD veteran, a man who has great skills in explaining to the public where he is in his program. He was elected, I'm told, by you and other distinguished observers on the basis of his proposing that security is vital to the recovery of New York from the pandemic. Vital. At the same time, Mayor Adams is dealing with the contradictions of the doubts about NYPD, the doubts about policing in general, and the streets of New York, which apparently now and again are perceived as lawless. That is not the case. I was there during the virus when there was hardly anybody on the streets, so lawless would have been an exaggeration. But now, in the early days of recovery, there is that perception. I mentioned, Harry, that your column helps me to understand the contest that Mayor Adams has, but I want you to put it in your words. He uses the word balance. What is he seeking to balance in order to restore security? Good day to you, Harry.
Good day, John. So there's been a peace dividend, if you like, over recent years, in which there's a sense that we don't need as much policing to maintain public safety. And we haven't needed the same levels of incarceration either. Since the pandemic, that dynamic has started to shift. Violent crime, gun crime has just about doubled in New York. Talking about the sharpest increase in recognition, last year we almost hit 500 murders for the first time in nearly a decade. And there's a sense that some things are going in the wrong direction. Eric Adams won office saying he was going to turn that around, is up against other Democrats in Albany and in the city council in New York who are still concerned first and foremost with the damage that policing and the court system and the justice system can do and the disparate outcomes it can cause. So at the same time, Adams is saying we need to have safety. We need to reestablish that sort of confidence and that the pandemic has unbalanced some of this. Almost coincidentally, the pandemic came just after a new bail reform law went into effect that made it more difficult to incarcerate many people ahead of their trial. This had been a big push in Albany for a long time. It's at best marginally related to this increase in violence, which we've seen nationally and in places, cities with very different policies. It's not like bail reform is the driver of this, but it is harder to defend a policy in which predictably dangerous people, say somebody with previous gun arrests, who's been involved in serious trouble, is suddenly out and in circulation again and does something terrible at a moment when crime is rising. So because Albany now has a Democratic supermajority, because New York is overwhelmingly Democratic, you have a set of dedicated reformers who are just going to hold this line no matter what and see any response as police propaganda and pushback at the same time that a larger and larger share of the public and the share that elected Adams mayor in a close and low turnout election want something to happen now involving public safety, violent crime, guns in particular, as well as a mental illness and street disorder, particularly in Manhattan. So those tensions are coming to some sort of a head, and it's not clear who's going to give. I'll just add that Adams just put out a long letter of people who support his approach and his balance, which clearly is going to involve more of a police presence and potentially a heavier handed one that includes just about all the prominent business leaders in the city, as well as a handful of people who you might think of as reformers, including Jonathan Lippman, the former chief judge of the state, who came up with the plan to close Rikers that's predicated on the idea of having fewer people incarcerated. So this is how much of this is just the pandemic versus how much of this is a broader shift in society? And the question, when the pandemic is done, if things go back to the old normal, or if we have a new normal that's considerably more violent, even if it's not the 70s and 90s, these are big open questions. And in a very healthy way, this is getting fought out among Democrats and largely among Black Democrats. So this isn't breaking down along racial lines. Eric Adams, the second black mayor of New York, is up against the Black leaders of the two branches of the state legislature here. The new district attorney of Manhattan is the first African-American in that role, and so on. And lastly, Adams is trying very hard not to frame this as a direct conflict. He wants to bring everyone into his view of balance as essential. And what he wants is a recognition, which he seems to have gotten from New Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, but is not from the state lawmakers, that there is some role for policing in maintaining public safety. Where you have people who are just seeing policing as a threat and a problem, in effect.
You mentioned the 70s and 90s, and because I'm senior, Harry, I recall the 70s. It's when I arrived in New York from college. And I recall the 90s. It's when I was living on the West Side and newly married. And what we're looking at now is not the 70s and is not the 90s. Those are inappropriate analogies. The 70s were a period of great fiscal challenge for New York City, a challenge across the country. It was a rough time. These are also not the 90s, when you had a wave of chemically dependent human beings homeless, camped out on the upper walkway of Riverside. These are not the 90s. This is something that is fresh, and it's a recovery from the pandemics. History says that in recovery from the pandemic, any pandemic, this stretches back several hundred years, chiefly in Europe, three things follow: an economic boom, a sense of risk-taking, severe risk-taking, that is life-changing risk-taking. Quit your job. Try something new. We see that. And disorder. We're seeing disorder right now. So, Harry, I want to bring it up to date to disorder. The streets of Manhattan are perceived as dangerous right now. I'm not going to say it's true or false, but I am going to say what will restore order is the people coming back to Manhattan. This is a wave that's going on in polling across the planet, not just here in the East Coast, not just in Manhattan. The office buildings are largely empty, or people come in only a few days a week. That means the hospitality workers are not at their posts. You can't get a really good cappuccino at Pratt. You can't do it because they staff those franchises intermittently during the day. So at what point, Harry, do we say when the office workers are come back, when the Manhattanites return to full employment, the perception of crime will fade? Or do we need to move faster than that, Harry? Is that too long a timeline? Because it could take another year.
I mean, we've had so many return to offices and postponements of return to offices. It's just not clear what time frame we're on. One other piece of history that applies here and may distinguish what's happening in New York from what's happening around the world and in the past history of pandemics is that we have a population of severely mentally ill street homeless people that goes back to deinstitutionalization in the late 1960s, which was a good thing because a lot of those institutions were horror shows and where troubled people were just locked up out of sight and tortured. But those were not replaced by adequate hospital beds or services or supportive housing or any of those other expensive solutions in any adequate way. And so the result is you just have troubled people who are out on the streets, who you can lose sight of to some extent in the hustle, bustle, and tumult of New York City. Minus that tumult, those troubled people stand out as an even more dominant and difficult presence. And it's a real disincentive for people getting back on the trains, for commuting into Midtown and getting out at Times Square or Penn Station. Times Square being where a 40-year-old woman was just shoved in front of a train in a, you know, a recurring nightmare for New Yorkers. And so you have chronic problems of our own making that are taking an exacerbated form. And the hope indeed is that the pandemic comes to an end and there's a return to a previous normalcy. But I don't think that simply happens on its own. And within that, you have these constant countervailing pressures. De Blasio effectively took the NYPD out of the subway system. You would still see officers at token booths, but you'd very rarely see them on trains. The expectation that people were on trains were paying customers who were going from one location to another went away and went away pretty quickly. And the extent to which you have people who were living on trains or in stations as a constant dynamic in a way that does resemble, without making the broader picture like the 90s, for what I can recognize as a kid, is striking. The question is if Adams can change that in a more decent and helpful way. Again, some of that takes money that doesn't just involve taking mentally ill people and throwing them into Rikers.
I'm speaking to Harry Siegel, a columnist at the New York Daily News, also the op editor of the Daily Beast. We're talking generally about New York City over the last 50 years, going through phases of disorder and then recovery. We're looking to another one. However, there are specifics here and errors of judgment that have happened in these last days that are important to address. And when we come back, the new district attorney of Manhattan, Mr. Alvin Bragg, and a memo that he wrote on the first instance of his taking office that has alarmed many and worried many about the direction of New York City. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.